with himself than at the giant. He should have known this would happen. The only excuse he could give to himself was that the dehydration and the effects of the sun had dulled his acute sense of danger and his survival instincts. But that would be no consolation if they were chilled. Ryan managed to stagger to his feet. From the corner of his rapidly blurring vision, he could see the workmen going for the blasters they had holstered, but they were stayed by the subtlest of hand gestures from their foreman.
Leave him. He has every right to be pissed. But he's no danger to us now.
Ryan swayed on his feet, trying to reach for his Sig Sauer. Every movement seemed to take an eternity, and his numbed hand failed to respond, even though his arm did move, albeit incredibly slowly. He could see JB fumble with his Uzi, falling forward to the ground before the blaster was fully in his hands. The world narrowed and darkened around Ryan. The one thing that cut through his befuddled mind was why they hadn't just been chilled there and then. What did Crow intend for them? As the blackness descended, even that question became irrelevant. The pounding in his head made JB open his eyes. He knew that the light pouring in would hurt like hell, but he figured that if he could see who the red blasted hell was pounding his skull, he could at least fight back against them. The outside world was a blur as he squinted and gradually opened his eyes, but at least he was soon reassured of the fact that he wasn't under attack. There were two shapes in front of him that stood out from the light around. One was stocky and light, the other tall, thin, and dark. Neither was in an attacking position, as both were several feet away from him. The armorer furrowed his brow in concentration as he tried to recall what had happened. Everything was clear up until the time that they had been fed and watered by the workers they had stumbled upon. After that, there was only drowsiness, the insanity of the nightmares that troubled him, and the thumping at the forefront of his skull. JB groaned, and not only from the pain. It suddenly occurred to him that all of them had fallen for the oldest trick going. While low and in need of water and salt, unable to really focus or concentrate, they had been disarmed by the apparent friendliness of the workers and hadn't questioned the willingness of the party to share valuable water. But why weren't they chilled? His speculations were halted by Crow's low yet penetrating voice.
Is that a groan because you're hurting, or because you were duped?
The armorer groped instinctively in his breast pocket for his spectacles, and registered surprise that they had been carefully placed, obviously with some thought, where he usually kept them when they weren't being worn. As he pushed them up the bridge of his nose, he noticed that Crow was smiling, almost to himself.
Better now you can see? You're the first to come around, so I guess you didn't drink as much as the others. And I wouldn't try to stand yet, either.
The foreman said this as JB tried to raise himself to his feet, finding that he hadn't recovered enough equilibrium to do more than make the covered shelter spin dizzyingly around his head. JB slunk to the floor again.
I guess I should mention now that we stripped you of all your weapons when you were unconscious, just in case you get a little angry when you try and check for them. Left you all the medical supplies, though. I'd love to know where you got them, but I guess you'll tell us if you want to. You're certainly a mysterious group, and if you reckoned I bought that story about the wag, then you didn't reckon much.
Why not? I'd believe it.
Sure you would. So would some of these boys, but they and you weren't brought up on the legends of this area before Skydark.
JB nodded.
So why aren't we chilled? That'd be the obvious question.
If that was the idea, then I'll tell you, my friend, that you wouldn't have gotten within 100 yards of this site. I would have let the Sec boys cut you down before you had the chance to raise your blasters. And let's face it, you were in no shape.
Okay, I'll agree with that assessment.
JB rubbed his aching forehead and looked at the ground intently as he tried to focus his spinning vision.
Oh, so what do you want from us?
Don't want anything from you, really. I meant what I said. I don't want to have to chew you, and I guess if I'm going to be honest, I didn't like having to trick you. But you've got to understand that I know jack shit about you, and I couldn't let you walk around with all that hardware. And let's face it, there was no way on this or any other world that you were ever going to give them up without a struggle. By the by, my friend, I take it from the amount of ammo, Plas-X, Skrens, and blaster powder that we took from you, that you're the dude who keeps this outfit in working order when it comes to the hardware?
You could say that.
Then you're a talented man, my friend, and I'd sure as shit hate to be on the opposite side of you in a war. I take it that the one-eyed dude is your leader?
Kind of. We don't call him that, and he doesn't call himself that, but it amounts to the same thing.
Then I guess you're a formidable outfit. And I'd sure as hell hate you to go against us just because I was kind of cautious. I'd be grateful if you'd explain that to him when he comes around.
Why don't you do that?
Because I've got work to do. That's why we're here. I'll be back later, but in the meantime, my friend Petey here will be just outside. And the kind of jack he's on to do a good job, he may be just a little trigger-happy if you do something rash. We've got a lot to do and not a lot of time. So the bonuses are good, and we can't afford interference.
Crow turned to leave.
Hey, just what is it that you're doing here?
The foreman didn't pause.
I ain't going to waste breath. I'll be back here when the day's work is done, and when you're all in a fit state to listen. Use the food and water.
He gestured to the barrel and table in the corner of the shelter.
That ain't drug, take my word. There's no need for it now.
JB watched him go, followed by Petey, who stopped just beyond the last sheet of material covering the shelter. The armorer then turned his gaze to his still unconscious companions. It was going to be a long day. Ryan was the second to come to, and the one-eyed warrior experienced much the same symptoms as the armorer. He raised his head and opened his eye to be greeted by his old friend standing over him.
Fire blast. What the red blasted hell hit me?
A heavy-duty trank, and a hell of a shock if you look for any weapons.
JB went on to explain the situation as quickly and concisely as possible, before Ryan had the chance to check for his blasters or his trusty Panga, and for the red mist of fury to descend.
Guess we'll just have to trust what he says. I knew there was something about him that set me on edge, even though most of my instincts said to go with him.
Figure you were right in the long run. I can see his point.
Yeah, and it's likely that I would have done the same thing.
The two friends and longtime traveling companions decided that there was nothing to do but sit back and wait to see what happened when the day's work was done and Crow returned to them. In the meantime, they had to wait for the rest of their party to awaken. The amount of time it took for the others to come around depended on their individual physical condition and how much of the water they had drunk. They were all extremely fit, even Doc. Despite the ravages of his enforced time travels, which had made his late-30s frame seem several decades older, Doc was just as fit as the rest of them. There was no way he would have survived if he weren't. His mind was another matter, though, and how it would react to this shock, when he had already been delirious from the desert trek, was something that they had to ponder. Also, he had been the most dehydrated, and Mildred had made sure that he had drunk a larger amount of the water than any of the other companions. Jack was next to awake, and he reacted to the drug and the enforced sleep in much the same way as he did to a Matt Trans jump, by vomiting heavily. But he recovered his strength and was aided by Mildred, who came around next and was able to feed him a solution from one of the packs taken from the medical bay at the redoubt that quelled his stomach spasms. Christy demonstrated her strength by gracefully uncoiling from her sleeping position and rising in a fluid movement, standing upright and still, while her balance and equilibrium settled. Dean took some time, as he had drunk copiously, and Doc wasn't far behind. But while Dean was eventually fine, Doc was another matter. Mildred crouched over the prone man as he began to regain consciousness, muttering and twitching as though in the throes of a fit. His eyes stared blankly from his head, and he failed to respond to any stimulus.
"Is there anything we can do, Mildred?"
She looked up and shook her head, the grim set of her face showing her concern.
Not that I can think of. Trouble is, I just don't know what's going on up here.
She tapped her head to indicate Doc's mind.
Whatever else, it's just more shit for him to deal with.
Mildred and Christy made Doc as comfortable as possible, and while the others paced the confines of the shelter, careful not to attract the attention of the sec man outside, but feeling like caged animals, Doc responded to the cold compresses applied to his fevered brow, and the sedative injection Mildred gave him. It was one of the few sealed needles that Mildred had salvaged from the medical bay, and as she was usually loath to use such items, she wasn't surprised at the quizzical look Christie gave her when she broke the seal on the packet. She answered the unspoken question.
I know. I'm not that keen either, but I don't know what else to do. The trank has unbalanced him even more than the desert, and this is so mild that it should just keep him...